Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Wide range of options for you insurance-wise. They work with you to pick out the best coverage at the right price. And they do it in a personalized way. Can you ask for anything else? No. That's why they're the best at what they do. Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Eagles and Giants coming up tonight. In week six, first place on the line in the NFC East. They will play at 8:30 on ESPN this evening. Let's see if the Eagles can stay on their roll or if the Giants can continue. Actually, the Giants, for the most part, played at a pretty good level all season. They blew two games. I mean, they're 3-2. They could easily be 5-0. Actually, had double-digit leads in the fourth quarter of the two games they lost. And then there's the Eagles, who I think have finally found some offense in all of this. Redskins struggled again yesterday. And now we'll move forward and see. Patriots in a strange one last night over the Colts. I don't know what the Colts were thinking on the fake. But what,
can you even figure out what that was supposed to be?
Nope.
I mean, I've looked at it three or four times. I just can't understand. I'm trying to come up with a logical explanation on why you would set it up that way to run it.
To my credit, I watched it once. I don't obsess over it. All right, so it's just weird.
Well, but see, I'm not as good at figuring things out like that as you are. So I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, okay, are they trying to throw the ball, run the ball,
Kevin,
draw them offside?
Kevin, I just said I didn't have no idea what they were going to do, but I wasn't going to watch it three or four times to figure it out.
I was obsessed with trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Me? No, not so much. All right.
My first thought was, okay, they're not going to throw the ball because or they run the ball because that doesn't make any sense. So maybe they're just trying to draw them offside and get a first down, but then they snap the ball. So I'm wondering, was it set up not to snap the ball? But then you hear the post-game press conference, and it didn't sound that way. I mean, I was completely baffled by that. I thought, I was waiting to hear, well, you know, we weren't supposed to snap the ball, and unfortunately the center snapped it and whatever. No, it was like, that's on me. Okay, but what was it supposed to be? That's what I want to know.
Can't help you. All right, let's. I can't help it. I don't know what they're trying to do.
Well, it's fair. I don't think they did either at this point.
I have no idea what they were trying to do. Zero. I watched it. Went. Oh, that's weird. Okay. I was also very tired when it happened, so I got back at like 3 a.m. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's weird. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep. Okay. Donnie Collins, Scranton Times-Tribune, joins us. Donnie, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
Great to be here, Steve.
All right. So what did you see Saturday night?
I saw a better team win the game. That's as much as Penn State, their foundation now is Saquon Barkley, and as well as he did, I mean, Ohio State's got four guys in offense that could play like that. And it's just tough to beat a team that has that much more talent than you have right now.
And I was talking about this earlier, and tell me if I've got the wrong feel on it, because I might. I mean, I was sitting on the bus after the game, and I thought, you know, I can't wait to come out here in 2 years and see how this plays out based on the young players I saw on the team. Is that off base or?
No, I think that's completely the way to look at that. I mean, Penn State, you look at all the guys who made key key contributions on offense in this game. And you know, they're sophomores. I mean, and Barkley's a freshman. So yeah, I would think in a couple of years, experience is everything in college football. If you could be good, but you're not going to play as fast as you can play. You're not going to move up to your potential if you don't have that kind of experience that the Ohio State players have. I mean, look, they ran out. I mean, their backup quarterback is a guy who finished fifth in the Heisman Trophy race. I mean, how good is that? I mean, he shouldn't be their backup quarterback. I think we all agree. I mean, he should be their starting quarterback.
Exactly.
They can go with Braxton Miller if they wanted to at quarterback, and they'd still be a dominant football team. And Miller's just a dominant player. He's an all-time top, to me, 100 or 200 player in the history of college football. I just think he's that good. He's given Penn State fits over the years. They have a list of great players who don't really make a huge contribution. I mean, Michael Thomas is a great receiver, and he did some nice things in the game, but he didn't dominate the game. He could dominate the game if he played for a team like Penn State because he's an experienced receiver. I think Penn State hung in there, but
yeah.
you see the experienced teams make adjustments, and you see the experienced teams overcome the few mistakes they make, and they don't make many. Penn State made a lot of mistakes on offense. It's just not an experienced team yet. So, in 2 years, you're still going to have a stout defense because they're playing a lot of young guys too, and then you're going to have a better offense, you would think, in 2 years. That's the hope anyway.
Right, that would be the hope in all this. And I know that, look, that's not saying Ohio State comes back to the Pack. Far from it. I think Ohio State maintains and stays at a very high level. I'm saying, though, that Penn State, as they continue to recruit, closes that gap and the experience gap over a two-year span.
Yeah, I think recruiting is the big word there, and that's the one thing I think everybody agrees the staff does extremely well is that they bring in top-flight talent, and it just amazes me sometimes how many fans think that top-flight talent should be exceeding what it's doing on the field right now. They're still learning in a lot of ways. Even Saquon Barkley's still learning.
Sure he is.
So they'll get better. I just think you have to have some patience. I mean, bad things happened in this program the last couple of years. They need to rebuild. And this, if you think in 2012, and everybody mentions this every time they talk about Penn State, but I think it's at the salient point. If you think of where they were in 2012. And where you thought they'd be in 2015,
right.
This is 3 light years ahead of where everyone thought they'd be. So I don't know how anyone thinks that's a completely winnable game. Could they have won it? Yeah, wouldn't have totally shocked me if they had won the game.
Oh,
they played well,
sure.
14, but it's not a game I think you go into thinking they're going to play a perfect game and win.
I mean, Penn State's absolutely comparable in several spots, but not across the board in every spot, and that's the issue. I mean, James Franklin is not in a George Seifert, Barry Switzer mode here where he inherited a championship, inherited championship talent. He's had to kind of, take what he had, which there were some good players, but then he had to build on it because there was no depth in the program when he took over.
Yeah, and especially up front. I mean, those guys are trying hard. They have some good kids up front, and they do work their butts off, and they're getting better. But that's not a championship level offense,
right? And they just
isn't.
Right. And they just right now, Ohio State is where they are, and give them credit for being where they are. The importance of making sure Ohio State doesn't beat you twice, Donnie. Let's talk about that for a moment because they've got Maryland this week.
Yeah, and I think this is the perfect, actually, the perfect time to get Maryland, Not saying that the way it's going to sound, but the way that game went last year, I don't think there's any chance Penn State walks into that game this year unless Ohio State beat them twice. I think this is the one week where I think that the coaching staff will, they always say, on Sunday, hey, we're moving on to the next week. But that's a lot easier said than done. It really is some weeks. And after a game like that, your confidence is probably shaken in some regard. You're lamenting a couple of big mistakes, but all you have to do is look back to the way that game went last year, the handshake thing and another a lot of missed opportunities, in that game as well for Penn State against Maryland last year. I would be extremely surprised if they went in there and had a letdown.
Hey, by the way, how good do you think Barkley is?
He's one of the best I've ever seen. It helped them that Perry got hurt. It did. But when you see a freshman kid come in like that and just run as tough as he did, some of the stiff arms he was delivering. I mean, he runs like an experienced guy. I mean, some of the guys in the press box are saying, "Oh, he reminds me of Kajana Carter." I don't want to go there yet.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. But I think he does.
Yeah. He's got that potential, and maybe someday, you can say the production is at that level. But as far as a freshman kid coming in, he might be between him and Hackenberg for freshmen who came in immediately and had that kind of an impact on the offense for me.
Yeah, he makes. It's interesting. We always talk in basketball, Donnie, about a guy, there's five guys on the floor, about a guy having the ability to make the other four guys better. I give Barkley credit. When I watch him, I feel like he makes the people around him better.
He makes the offensive line better. I mean, it looks like there's gaping holes for Barkley and no holes for anybody else. And that can't be the case. You know what, in your head when you're watching, like they can't be blocking better for him than they block for anybody else. It looks that way because he sees the hole, and he just hits it as hard as he possibly could, and he's gone. He's so quick. I mean, he gets around the end, and it's a 5-6-7 yard pickup at minimum. But when you have a running game in football, and I think that's probably the point you're trying to make. I mean, you have to honor it, and. It should make Hackenberg look better. It should give him some more time. It should allow the offensive line to be better. It should get that extra couple of seconds for the receivers to get open. But against a team like Ohio State, where they have a superstar at every spot, it's not as easy. But against the normal teams in the Big Ten, just your normal average run of the mill, pretty good football team.
Right.
Barkley makes you a much better offense.
Well, it's like I know I talked earlier in the show about. A young man like Brandon Polk, really great speed. And I said, Ohio State has four or five guys like that playing in their offense now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big difference. That's a big difference. I mean, and I give Urban Meyer and his staff a lot of credit because, I mean, they put that kind of dynamic together.
Yeah, Polk's a great – and I wrote in my column today, the kind of let's look back and see what the weekend was like, and I look back and I think Polk's the guy that might really be on the verge of breaking out here a little bit. He's a good runner. Once he gets the ball, he's tough. He's not like your normal diminutive, speedy receiver who, if he doesn't beat the cornerback and get a big deep pass, and he's not really effective. But Ohio State has two guys like that with experience that they use all the time. So he's a really good example of what Penn State is building to try to be. And, Franklin, give him credit, that staff knows what they need. They know what kind of players they have to get. They know guys like Brandon Polk have a role. DeAndre Tompkins, I guess, a little bit, and still in that regard. The offenses in the Big Ten need those fast guys like that, those guys who can give you something else to look at. And the only thing is Urban Meyer is a guy who's mastered that offense. I mean, it just looks better when he does it. And Franklin and John Donovan, they've been a team there for what, 5 years now. It's all a learning process.
Sure. Were you watching live when Michigan State beat Michigan, or did you see it after the fact?
Yeah, we were in the press box and. There was the incompletion right before it. So I kind of stopped, paying attention because I don't want to see Michigan win. So then all of a sudden you hear somebody in the press box, hey, look, and then you look up and I saw as the punter kind of flipped the ball behind him. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? And, the kid catches it and I'm yelling for the kid to get out of bounds because if he gets tackled the one, he's the GOAT in the game. He's kind of lucky he got in, but, it's weird. Like sometimes, you get that moment where you're watching something. Like, wow, they're gonna be talking about this one forever.
Yes.
And you knew it. He's at the 20-yard line. You knew they were gonna be talking about that play forever. It was really a neat scene.
We were actually on the air. Yeah, and we're doing the pregame show, and I think we're doing the Big Ten segment at the time. Ironically, I mean, it's just there's certain segments you have to do, and one of the last segment we do in the pregame show live is. the Big Ten segments. They talk about this game, that game, you know, the Michigan, Michigan State. We're talking about how Harbaugh's found this formula, you know, where, you know, field position, you know, take care of the ball, play great defense, you know, which is, what we've seen around here for decades, right? You know, and how great it's working and so forth. And all of a sudden we're like, and I think I remember saying, oh my goodness, Michigan State's going to win the game. I mean, we were in a state of shock. We're just sitting there like, and I feel, Donnie, I feel awful for that kid. I mean, yeah. He's getting death threats on Twitter from, I mean, look, grow up, be adults.
It's the Sam Pickens story all over again. It's embarrassing how some people act on, you know, social media, and it's a shame. Yeah, we see it as reporters. I mean, we all have Twitter accounts. We have to have them. I would never have one if I didn't have. I mean, if they didn't force me to for work. But you have to have them. So you're looking, and just some of the stuff people say. I mean, it's crazy. And I knew for the poor punter, who was a great punter, but
oh yeah, he's really good. And I think he already has 2 degrees from Utah. For goodness' sakes, he's working on his third degree.
He's 2 degrees. He's working on a third degree. He's, I mean, an unbelievable athlete. I mean, he's the Australian kid, right?
Yes, he is. He's
an Australian rules football player. So he's an unbelievable athlete. And you know, some guy in a bar is going to tweet that he should kill himself. That shows you how humankind has fallen because of social media. I mean, we could have a whole segment someday about some of the stuff I read from fans. And it's just unbelievable.
And for the heck of it, someday we will. Just to have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I look forward to that.
I think that would be fun. Maybe we'll sit there. Maybe we'll try and do that next week. I think that'd be a fun thing to do. Just, you know, and we don't have to identify who wrote what or whatever, but just a pure comment doing it, because there's no need for us to sink that low and put out names. Donnie, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Steve. Anytime.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. I want to do that with next week with Donnie, where we look at some of the tweets over his account anonymously, just to show the emotion that comes out. Now, I appreciate emotion and passion as much as anybody. Contrary to what Kevin thinks, I love sports.
I do believe you do.
I do. And contrary to what Kevin believes, I'm passionate about sports.
That one I'll debate with you, but okay. All right.
But I don't get this deal. I don't get it. I don't get the, you know, go to the top of the bridge and jump. What are you going to send that for? I don't understand it. I don't understand it takes you in that direction. We'll have Kevin explain it for you in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
The Sunbury Motors Kia is a spooktacular sales event for a limited time only.
What does a spooky deal mean?
Really, really good and spooky.
Just stop. But yes, the deals at Sunbury Motors Kia are spooky good this month. But not because of Halloween. Kia has authorized us to provide employee pricing on all models this month. Plain and simple, you pay invoice minus all factory incentives on every model we have. That means the very best deals of the year from the dealer you already know to give you great deals year-round. Big savings on the 7-passenger Sereno SUV, the agile handling and first-class features of the Sportage, and the fuel-sipping Optima. Plus, with 0% financing available and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, these deals are scary good.
Now, that's the holiday spirit!
Owning a brand-new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We did get a question about Jim Harbaugh. What was the question about Jim Harbaugh?
Just wondering how Harbaugh should have handled or did handle the media and his team, and what he would have said to it, what he said to his team.
The only parts I saw of him, I thought he handled it with poise and grace. I don't think my suggestion to him would be to keep handling it the way he's handled it. I don't think he can handle it any better. You'll find, though, with teams, what will happen with teams is this. They will rally around their guy. And that's going to be important in this. They will rally around him. And I think that's going to be an important element to this. And that will include the head coach will rally around him. Because, you know, you have to have a realization that at some point, you know, what, yelling at him, getting mad at him, going insane, what's that going to accomplish? I mean, you already have in front of you the one person that feels worse about it than anybody on the planet. So, since you've already accomplished that part that nobody's going to feel worse than he is, why bother? Okay? You know, you have to take the opposite tack. Complete and absolute support. You get out in front of everybody and tell you know what? Blake's our guy. Blake's our punter. Teams do a great job of rallying around a guy, especially when the world is against them. There is a sisterhood or a brotherhood, depending on the locker room you're in, where they rally around the person that is the target of criticism. And I think you'll find that that's what Michigan will do. And it starts with Jim Harbaugh. He has to set the tone of rallying around this guy. And I would expect that's exactly what's going to happen. Team game, you tell everybody there are five other plays in the game that could have swung it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Insurance is so important. And you need to have an insurance agent that takes your personal needs and your budget into consideration, knows your situation inside and out. That way they get you the right insurance for a price that fits your budget. I've just defined Purdy Insurance for you. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Kevin is driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week we're driving a 2015 Ford Focus, which you could be driving for, well, $199 is what you've been seeing in the lease for 36 months, and this is a 36-month lease. But when you throw tax tags and everything into it, it's $217 a month. That's all, $217. And you could have it around and driving around for 36 months, well-equipped, and gas mileage in the 30s. Now, you do have some things you have to qualify for, or you can put some money down and make that payment even lower. Find out more at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. It's sign-and-go time with the Ford Focus.
Well, at least we got through one without you talking about your seat. All right.
Hey, I did have another caller check in and ask a question. Wanted to know the reasoning behind Hackenberg staying in after what appeared to be an injury. Was it, you know, what did you hear anything more about that? I guess is what they were looking for.
He's fine.
So it wasn't an injury that was a major issue.
No, he's fine.
It seemed like they kept calling it, I believe, a cut in the on the television broadcast, or from what appeared to be the brace.
Oh, okay, but he's fine though. I mean, that's
good news. That's good news.
He's full go, no issue, no anything. So It's, I can tell you that with certainty. He's fine. Okay. Now, why he stayed in there, that's something you'll have to ask James Franklin. I don't know. You know, that was, well, you're saying like when it was 38 to 10 or whatever it was?
Yeah, I think that's what the question was, yeah. You know, why he stayed in as long as he did.
He'd have to answer that. I don't know. And yeah, I don't go to the press conferences after the game. We're still on the air, so I don't know if he was asked that, and if so, what his answer was. I don't know. Two quick things on that. Then a quick story on Michael Conforto, the Mets outfielder. Couple quick things. Number one, when you get into a game like that, you can't make a lot of mistakes. And when they make mistakes, and believe me, Ohio State makes mistakes like everybody. They all make mistakes. They're 18 to 22-year-olds. I mean, they're going to make mistakes. You have to take advantage of their mistakes, which Penn State really didn't. And you have to keep your mistakes to a minimum. You can't drop a ball. We know Mike dropped it. I got it. But that's an unforced error. You can't have that. You can't have a holding penalty on a touchdown run. It was hard for me to tell looking at the replay because of where the TV monitor was as to whether it was or it wasn't. I was kind of looking up at an odd angle, so I really couldn't see. You at home had a better view of it than I did. But you can't have that. You can't punt the ball the way Penn State punted the ball. You can't. When you're in a position like Penn State's in where you want to play good possession football, you want to play field position football, you want to, you know, get your defense in a good spot, you want to take advantage of opportunities and give away, take away. That's part of the formula. That's part of the formula for winning that Penn State has. And part of it is you have to be able to kick the ball effectively. Ohio State has not just a good punter. Cameron Johnson's a great punter. He's averaging over 47 yards a kick. He now has 14 of his 33 punts this year inside the 20, several inside the 10. He does a brilliant job. Meanwhile, Penn State on the other end needed to get some punts to help change field position a little bit and didn't get it. Just didn't get it. The average drive start for Ohio State Saturday night was their own 36-yard line. The average drive start for Penn State Saturday night was their own 16. When you have 13 possessions in a game and the average is 20 yards a possession, you've given away 260 yards in field position. 260 yards. Now, what does that mean? That means, for example, let's do the two first down deal. If Ohio State gets two first downs, right, they've got the ball right around midfield, and now they knock the ball back down to the five-yard line. Say you do the exact same thing. You start from the 16. And you get two first downs. They're still starting from the 30-yard line. You haven't really changed or turned the field at all on what you're doing. So you need to do that. The next part is a lot of people love the speed of, you know, of what Saquon Barkley does. He and Elliott are very, they have Elliott, who's a great player, as a back. Barkley has the potential of being a great player. You see it. And then, of course, a lot of people love the speed of Brandon Polk and what he brings to the table. But Ohio State has four Brandon Polks all in the field at the same time speed-wise with more experience. Braxton Miller, Jalen Marshall, Wilson, JT Barrett. They have four of those guys out there at once with more experience. Makes an incredible... I mean, that, now, Penn State... That's why I said I sat in the bus after the game, and I know how Penn State's recruited. And I sat in the bus, and I said, you know what, I can't wait to come out here in 2 years and see how this plays out. I mean, I expect Ohio State to maintain a very high level of recruiting and the kind of guys they bring in and so forth. But 2 years from now, Barkley's a junior. Gesicki's a junior. Haley's a senior. Reed's a junior. Reeder is a junior. Kabinda's a senior. Gesicki's a senior. Godwin's a senior. Hamilton's a senior. Blacknall's a senior. I mean, Nelson's a senior, fifth-year senior. Mann's a fifth-year senior. And then you start mixing in the other guys. You know, Torrance Brown's only going to be a junior. And you start, and Marcus Allen's going to be senior. I can't wait to go out there in 2 years, and I'm anxious to see how that plays out with talented players. And Polk will just be a junior. Where talented players out there that then have some experience behind them to back it up. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. And Ohio State's done a great job of establishing exactly who you are. And Penn State, through recruiting, is starting to close it up in terms of the athletes on the field. But they're not there yet. They're not there yet. And that's why I sat in that bus. I said, I can't wait to see how this plays out 2 years from now. Let's just see. Dick from Milton. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Steve. Kevin. 3 points. Coach Franklin was asked and kind of didn't really answer the question about Hackenberg not staying in the game. He just gave some cursory answer. And then the other thing I was going to tell you, other thing was, to me, maybe it's my television, maybe it's my eyes, but even the announcers kind of intimated that Hackenberg seemed, I don't want to say injured, but he was kind of limping around, which he seemed to be to me too towards that fourth quarter. And if he
we said on the broadcast that he was limping back and forth to the sideline, that we saw him limp. But I mean, I think that Kevin asked, "How is he now?" And I said, "He's fine now," because I saw him yesterday.
Right, and I think a lot of it hinges on the fact that when the game was kind of out of hand at the end, and here's a kid that's kind of limping around, and he can't be 100%, and they leave him in the ball game, and it's an opportune time to put another kid out there in front of 80, 90, 100,000 people. Even if it's for only a series or two, because you never know when that kid has to take a real snap. I guess that's my point. And my third point was, remember after the Temple game, I brought up the fact that I was always kind of concerned. As good as Akil Lynch is, he wasn't that guy like a Carter or you know, some of the guys you thought when he was going to run through people, and that's the guy they have now. That was my point, for whatever reason. They didn't play him much against Temple, so.
No offense, but you know, I mean, I was surprised Barkley didn't play a lot more against Temple. But Jack and I saw what you saw the first day of practice. No offense.
Right. We had to see that.
We saw it right away. We looked at each other and said, that's different.
I mean, there's lots of guys that are running backs, and there's only a few guys that are what I call capital R running backs, and he's one of them.
I had a long talk with Chris Fowler on Thursday night, and we were talking about the various guys for Penn State, and he was asking me a couple of questions, and he asked me about Barkley, and I said, "Look, here's the deal on Barkley." I said, "Look at the size of his legs, thighs, calves, so forth." I said, "He's physically strong in the lower body area." And he has the ability with the quickness he has, because one of the great misnomers is that, well, I don't know how quick he is. He's 4.41, kids. All right, that's fast enough. And he gets into the hole tremendously quick, but here's the difference. He makes a 2-yard play, an 8-yard play, because he breaks tackles because of that lower body strength he has.
Well, as I say, the only thing that I did quite a question why Hackenberg. I mean, here's a team, Ohio State, and obviously they've got multiple players at a lot of positions that can play a lot of stuff. I mean, they've got a red zone quarterback, so to speak, which was almost amazing to me. And Penn State uses one guy for every play, for every game, for whatever reason. When the game's out of hand, the game's out of hand. There's not much you're going to. The kid that's in there is not going to change that, and there's no reflection on him anymore. It's just the way that that's just the nature of the game. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, I just kind of questioned Coach Franklin's coaching it when it comes to something like that. You know, I'm not sure that it would have caused any more problems for Penn State. I guess that's my point.
Right. Let me put it this way: Penn State had a specific red zone package too for the game, just so you know. You have to be in there first. And the only thing I'd question Christian Hackenberg about all the way through. On the fourth down play, because look, here's the game in a nutshell. The swing moment of the game, the swing moment of the entire game is with 10 minutes to go. Penn State's a fourth and two at the 13-yard line with the potential to make it a 24-17 game. If you do make it 24-17, you've now changed the dynamics of the game at one score. You've got momentum. They may change how they go about their business. they might even turn it over. You don't know because they're running maybe a different package of plays. They stopped Penn State there. And Christian on a fourth down play, Dick, he should have thrown the ball. What is there to lose throwing the ball into a double somewhere? Who cares? It's fourth down. All right. He should have thrown the ball somewhere because at that point, to me, there's nothing to lose. They then, Ohio State, to their credit, with their excellence, turn around and went 85 yards the other way. And that's a 14-point swing. Instead of 24-17, possibly, it's 31-10. That's all between the 10-minute mark and the 5-minute mark to go in the game. Okay, not in the first half, but in the game. That's, you know, Penn State played them tough in a lot of ways as this game played out, and that was the swing moment right there. That's why they're in the position they're in right now, and Penn State's 5-2 and 2-1.
Well, I'm going to let you go, but I want to tell you the toughest guy this weekend, I was at the Army game. We went on the fan bus, and the toughest guy I saw was Kevin walking around short sleeves up there.
Listen,
I mean, you had to be tough. It was cold.
Listen, it was not the smartest idea at halftime, but the worst part is the elevator was out both at the end of the half and at the end of the game, so I had to make the trek up the stairs outside the stadium. That was the worst part of the whole thing. That wasn't right. Even as bad as the cold wind.
Well, the guy
right now, there's a guy. I know. Well, Dick, right now there's a guy right now running a jackhammer on Interstate 80. Has no sympathy for Kevin walking up the stairs at a football stadium.
I understand that, but it was cold up there on Saturday. It's cold and windy, and they Bucknell played pretty well. But there again, that's the nature of football. One play here, one play there, and pretty soon you
yeah, exactly.
Some plays they come back.
If you notice, the jacket came on in the post.
Pass. Yeah, 68-yard pass play, Dick, on a team that doesn't throw the ball that often. There's the difference.
And who would have thought that Edgar Allan Poe would have been playing football? But anyhow, I'll let you go.
And to think, Dick, I'm going down to a stadium where the Raven plays. All right.
Right, I understand that. Go for it.
Thanks, Dick. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Okay, so good show. We avoided Kevin talking about his seat during the commercial. That was good. That was audience friendly, I thought.
Glad you liked it.
No, I'm just relieved for the audience, my man. I'm just relieved for the audience.
So you know, the real answer to Dick's question is why I wasn't wearing a jacket. Because the sun was out, so the guns are out, you know.
And the show now becomes sick. All right. Wow.
Somebody did suggest, though, instead of walking up the steps, that I could have gotten one of the ropes and stuff. He said, I'm sure that you could have scaled it okay at Army. They have the equipment to do that. I said, going down, no problem. Coming up is where I'd have the issue, I think.
Mike, the Michael Conforto story, you're going to like this. The okay. Michael Conforto plays for the Mets. You know who his dad is? Well, I know who his mom is.
No, I don't.
You know who his mom is.
I not off the top of my head, no.
And the show takes a turn for the worse.
I'm okay. So sorry. I'm not worldly. What can I say? Who's his mom?
Tracy Ruiz, the gold medal winning synchronized swimmer.
Well, you think just because I'm an Olympics fan, I know who that is?
Okay.
I do, but that's not the point.
Continue with story or impale one on a sword?
Let's go with continuous story, just for the fun of it.
And his dad, Mike Conforto, Altoona High School graduate, who played inside linebacker for Penn State in the mid to late 70s. The two have since separated, but eventually Mike settled in Redmond, Washington. In 2004, Redmond, Washington made it to the Little League World Series in South Williamsport as the Northwest Regional Champion. And because of the fact that he played for Joe Paterno, Mike Conforto, Mike Sr., arranged to have the team go down to a Penn State football practice. Well, it turned out it was on a day where Penn State was practicing. It was a two-a-day. And Joe usually took the morning practice on a two-a-day, and it was all special teams. And then the afternoon would be a scrimmage. So that's what he was doing on this particular day. It was going to be the last scrimmage before the start of the season. And they didn't know which of the two practices the team was going to go to. So the writer for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer wanted to see Joe with the kids. Okay, great. But, of course, practice was close. We couldn't get into the practice. And the morning practice all kicking. Now, Robbie Gold, Bob Buehner, loves Robbie, and he should. Robbie's an awesome guy, great kicker, one of the best the NFL has seen over the last 10 years, easily. But let's face it, Robbie, his senior year, struggled at Penn State. For whatever reason, he struggled. So the last element they did in this morning practice was field goals. Robbie kicks the first one, high, majestic, slides to the right. Okay. Second one, high, majestic, slides to the right. Third one, high, majestic, slides to the right. The fourth one, Robbie overcompensates and he hooks it, and it goes and it hooks left of the upright. Fifth one is high, majestic, slides to the right again. I mean, just slides to the right. And Joe says, "That's it. You're wasting our time. We're done. Everybody get out of here. I'm done." And the writer for the Seattle papers outside the stadium, and he goes, "Hey, I'd like to ask you about the Seattle." "Yeah, I don't want to talk to anybody right now." He keeps on going. Yeah, can you blame him? A, he didn't know it was going to be there, and B, it didn't go well at the end. Okay? So in the afternoon, that's when the team shows up, right before the scrimmage. And the writer's there with him. And Joe sees the kids. He goes, "Mike, how are you? Great to see you. Hey, here's the team. I watched you guys play last night." And young Michael had made a big catch the night before and had played really well. And he says, "Mikey," he says, "oh," he says, "you played a great game last night." He says, "Oh, you're a much better athlete than your dad ever was." You know, the little needle, the whole thing. It was terrific. Now I see him today. Michael Conforto ended up going to Oregon State. Was the Pac-12 Player of the Year, drafted in the first round by the Mets, played actually with Brooklyn last year in the New York Penn League, and rocketed through the system. He had 9 home runs this year. But every time I see him play for the Mets now, I laugh because I remember meeting him that day at Beaver Stadium and how the day played out. Ah. What's your story? I'm sure you have stories.
No, I don't have a story today.
That's a shame. You didn't like my story?
I thought your story was fine.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that.
I'm sorry that I know Doug from Wellsboro is going to be upset because I didn't play the story time with Steve music, but kind of caught me off guard on the story.
It wasn't a short story.
Doesn't matter. It's still story time with Steve.
Yeah, but it wasn't a short story. You could have.
I could have.
You just didn't want to work today, did you?
I could have. Hindsight's 20/20. You know? Yeah, I could have done that.
But you chose not to.
But I chose not to.
We all make choices in life. Some are bad.
I'm willing to live with that choice.
I'm okay with that choice.
You know how mad I get.
Exactly.
That's why you felt pretty secure. Like,
I wasn't
okay
really worried.
Way.
I really wasn't
exactly
worried.
Right. You know how furious I get. My blood pressure is like 110/70.